You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another hard-fought, but in the end, a losing episode of Doing the Work. I'm definitely not going to use the word disappointing at all in this episode today. But here we are, nonetheless, with the season ending to our Indiana women's basketball game and our basketball season. And we're going to break it all down to you here as Andy Bottoms and I will get going here on Doing the Work. So again, this is Doing the Work, the first show on the Back Home Network covering IU women's basketball. Today is our 115th episode. It's recorded on Friday, March 29th, 2024. I am your host, Kathy Amos, joined by our special guest, Andy Bottoms, and we will be breaking down your fourth-seeded Indiana Hoosiers hard-fought loss, 75-79, to the number one overall seed, South Carolina Gamecocks. That brings their final record for the season to 26-6. But before we get into the game, let's start our show as we do every show, and that's with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And it's going to be a little bit of a long one and maybe a little different than what we're used to, but the banner moment actually for me started earlier this morning, which might sound weird, but as I was getting ready for the day, my normal partner, Jeff Marlowe, had texted me earlier in the day from Spain wishing us to have a good show tonight. And I almost texted back and I said, well, next year, just don't go on a school trip in March. And I had to pause and say, you know, I had to think about how maybe we've started to take for granted our IU women program has started to become, and that now we're just expecting them to always make the NCAA tournament. You know, building a program that consistently makes the tournament is a very hard task, but even harder, making three Sweet 16s in 4 years, and only four times in school history have we ever made a Sweet 16, and three of them have come in the last 4 years. So yeah, I feel like we're probably all getting a bit spoiled. So I decided today to sit back and enjoy the game, no matter what the outcome. And boy, my official banner moment then came at 5 Eastern when our Hoosiers tipped off again in another Sweet 16. And I didn't take any moment today for granted, really the whole game from start to finish, even when we were down 22. And boy, was that comeback something to all give us something proud and cheer about. And not just for this game, but really the whole season. And so for me, my entire banner moment is the entire game today. Congratulations to our Indiana women on just another amazing season and bringing us a lot of joy. So our banner moment is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, our presenting sponsor of the Back Home Network, who includes the Assembly Call and Crimson Cast. Home Field is constantly releasing new schools or updating their products for schools in their existing line. So you're bound to find something for you or anyone in your life that loves great collegiate gear. Not only do you get great quality apparel, but you're supporting an Indiana-based business that has its roots in the Kelley School of Business. So go to homefieldapparel.com, and if it's your first time, use our promo code HOME23 to get 15% off your entire first order. That promo code again is HOME23 for 15% off, and the website is homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, well, let's go ahead and just kick it over to Andy. Andy, what's your bottom line on today?
Where to begin, I guess I would say. You know, I think the overarching sentiment is one of pride. I think you've seen that a lot on Twitter, people commenting on the game, commenting on the comeback, and all of the things. I think ultimately the biggest takeaway is the pride that anyone who roots for this team should have in them, the effort, the way that they play, and everything that allows you to come back against an undefeated team that has you down by 22 points. It would be so, so easy to just phone it in, move along, play out the rest of the game, and be done. But as we have said, and you guys have said on here many times, this team doesn't back down from anybody. They don't give up no matter what the circumstances. And they just fought and clawed their way back into the game. Almost kind of didn't realize. I mean, you realize they were gradually chipping away at the lead, but you know, just you kind of look up and it's like, oh, it's 6. Oh, it's down to 4.
down to 2.
and what an amazing testament to the program that Terry Moran has built and this group of players for playing the way they did. I mean, they basically played the five starters the entire second half, save for a couple minutes here and there. And meanwhile, South Carolina is just rotating in like another group of five players. And those five, like, just busted it the whole second half to fight back. And I've seen a few comments, you know, as well. Jared was texting me this as well. Like, the ultimate compliment that people, at least of my general age, can pay to a team is to compare them to the early 90s Hoosiers. And this team was like the early 90s Hoosiers. Just absolutely a togetherness that is really hard to cultivate, a fight that is really hard to quantify, and just just an amazing group of players. And so certainly disappointed that we won't be able to see this particular group play again, but they have continued to help build the foundation that started a few years ago that Coach Moran has built up over the course of time. And so while an unfortunate end to the season, I think a performance to be celebrated for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, Andy. So why don't we just go ahead and jump right into the game, and we'll start with some pivotal plays. So why don't you go first? What kind of plays you want to talk about? If there are any in the first half, maybe we can start there. I think there were a ton in the second half. I'll be honest, my note-taking got a little lackadaisical or non-existent, if you will, as I was too busy standing and yelling at the TV. So what kind of pivotal plays, though, in the first half do you want to talk about?
I'm not sure my note-taking is going to be too much better, so this might be a little bit all over the place. Yep. I'll start with Sydney Parrish. In the first half, I had written down she was just scrapping in the first half, whether that was a couple really like textbook box outs where she's just riding the girl out of the lane, making shots. She missed some open shots in the first half that she made in the second, but I thought her fight in particular in the second half during some of those stretches was just critical. And it was in the first half as well. I thought, you know, she was one of the ones who was doing enough to keep him in the game when it started to get away from him. And I thought just a tremendous performance from her. Ended up with 21, hit five threes. Had a couple others where that, you know, I thought were going in that she took. But I thought she really set the tone from a scrappiness standpoint early on in the game and really carried that throughout.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, there were three kind of pivotal plays, if you will, and they weren't really plays per se as in runs. I think that really kind of sealed how that half is going to end. So first in the first quarter, South Carolina went on an 8-0 run in 45 seconds. Finally, Sarah Scalia made a three to stop that 8-0 run there in the first quarter. And then they did the same thing in the second quarter, not quite as quick, but they did make a 7-0 run in 2 minutes. That ended by a two from Yarden. That was with 2.5 minutes left. And really that whole second quarter, South Carolina made a 15-4 run in that second quarter to end that half. And as we know, then they ended up going up 32-49 at the halftime. So I think those were pretty pivotal, not so much plays as much as pivotal runs that South Carolina had in both the first and the second quarter that really opened it up. And I think that led into the third quarter too, as they can kind of continued, you know, they ended up with a 22-point lead in that third quarter. And we just had to expend so much energy then coming back from that, but they definitely did. So what kind of, what other specific plays do you have, Andy, written down that we should talk about?
Well, I thought those stretches that you talked about were critical, particularly in the second quarter. You know, Holmes is trying to battle through with the two fouls and try to do that. And I thought really, you know, in other parts of the first quarter in particular, even the beginning of the second quarter, they were getting good shots, taking a lot of threes, which you kind of have to do in a game like this where you're a little bit outmanned. You got to add some variance and take a bunch of threes, not really able to get things inside. And they were getting shots. It was, you know, really what allowed South Carolina to break the game open was a stretch where IU just turned the ball over a ton, kind of mid to late portion of the second quarter. And I think that was, you know, ultimately where things got away from them in that stretch a little bit. They certainly got it back, you know, before, but a couple offensive fouls. I thought the one on Garzon was questionable, given some of the other contact that they were letting go on ball handlers. Sydney gets called for a moving screen on something. Just some kind of ticky-tack calls. I felt like in that stretch there, but they just weren't getting shots up to give themselves a chance. A couple shots blocked in that stretch. Like, they hardly had any shots in that little window there, get to the rim with a chance to go in. And that was really what allowed, I think it was, 4:40 left, and it's an 8 minute at the media timeout. It's an 8 point game. And I texted the guys, and I'm like, this is a big, 4 minutes and 40 seconds. Can you shave a few points off the lead and go into halftime feeling good? And the exact opposite happened because they just didn't get shots and did that. So I thought that was a struggle. I think they cleaned that up substantially in the second half as you look at some of the turnover numbers. But I think points off turnovers in the first half were, 9 turnovers led to 15 South Carolina points in the first half. Like, that was just key. You just, playing against a team that good, they don't need any charity from you to be able to allow them to perform well in the game. But I also think you saw IU just 8 turnovers in the second half after 10 in the first. Not a huge difference, but I did think they took care of the ball, quite a bit better. And obviously that showed up in the numbers as well. But I thought that stretch that you mentioned there in the kind of mid part of the second quarter was really what got the game away from them, which will probably allow us to transition into how IU got back in it, which will be a much more pleasant discussion than that.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and do that? So again, I probably don't have a whole lot written down per se, but I think it really started and ended with Sydney in that second half. In fact, I have a couple of plays from her in the third quarter. She had a three and then a drive to the basket, and that cut it down to 48-61. And then she comes down again. She ties up South Carolina on the defensive end for a steal that leads to a nice bucket or a basket down past to Yarden, who made a great move underneath and cut it down again to 50-61. And so those are some of the keys, I thought, in the third quarter that really started the momentum for us in the third quarter. And we would go on to outscore them 23-16 in that quarter. In fact, at one point, we had held them to only 4 points to kind of end that second quarter. And so third quarter. So I think those are really key plays, though. And I think Sydney was really a key to that whole comeback where she just really seemed to come alive. She was already, as you pointed out, doing really well, I thought, in the first half, but she really came alive in that third quarter.
Yeah, she was just really active. I'd say that about the rest of the team as well, just in terms of trying to get open for shots. She just, with a little bit more size, was able to free herself enough to get shots off. I think that the perimeter players that in large part were able to not create their own shot, but at least be able to get shots off were Sydney and Yarden, in part because of their size. I think Sarah just struggled to get the space that she needed to shoot. She's just not super big, and they were really crowding her quite a bit. And so I thought Sydney took advantage of that, and just being a little bit taller, was able to get some shots off over people. And, I think it's like anybody, you got to pick your poison, and they were really trying to take Sarah away. They were trying to let Chloe not even touch the ball a lot to bring it up the court. And so Sydney was somebody that they, kind of by default left open a little bit, and she certainly made him pay, but I thought really did a good job of picking her spots, being aggressive, getting to the basket, got fouled late in the fourth quarter as well, but also had that, coast to coast drive where she just pushed the ball up the court and was able to get a layup. And, just a really, really solid quarter from her that, I think on, between her and Chloe, they scored in Yarden. I think they scored almost all the points in that quarter.
Yeah, I agree. So, and then, in the fourth quarter leading into that, we had some really great defense, and we finally got the ball down to Mac in transition. We got it to her for two, and that kept that lead to 57-65. It was the first time we had it single digits, I think, since the first quarter. And to me, that was really key. And, there's just something about that mental aspect, I think, of having only a single digit lead now to crawl back from. And I didn't write down the time, but I think it was around maybe the 7 minute mark or somewhere in there. So it gave everybody then that hope. And it really just, I think, not that we didn't have it before, but I think that just rejuvenated them even more, as they had to cut through that lead in that third quarter. They looked a little tired. McKenzie in particular, she was battling Cardozo down there, who had a good 4 inches on her, just in her height alone. And she definitely looked tired, and it wasn't her normal game, pulling Mac out and not having her post up, which I understood that the theory on that too. I don't think she was going to have any shot at it, but Mac still was able to, get 12 points for the game. And I thought that was one play in particular to get McKenzie the ball in transition that really helped us get going in that fourth quarter in particular, or keep going, if you will.
Yeah, you could really tell that the times they had the most success getting Mac the ball in the post was when they pushed it up the floor, because Cardozo couldn't get up the floor as well.
Right.
Ended up getting somebody else on McKenzie, and then she could, you know, get to work a little bit there. And I think, you know, she ended up taking four threes in the first half. I think you make one of those, maybe you pull her, you know, Cardozo away from the basket a little bit.
Right.
I kind of viewed it as you're going to have to shoot a ton of threes and probably make a ton of threes in order to win the game. So didn't necessarily have an issue with it. I thought they tried to pick their spots with her as best they could. And really just kind of getting her to the second half with only two fouls was somewhat of an accomplishment, so that at least she could go out, be able to try to play defense and do that. She had a little bit of success there, but, you know, Cardozo is just so tall that even you think about the footwork and the moves that McKenzie can usually make down there, that's just hard. Those aren't going to be as effective with somebody that long, that tough to get shots up over. So, you know, I think a challenging game for her, where she really had to try to press in the moments that she did feel like she had an opportunity and opening to score. But yeah, I mean, she made a couple big plays there down the stretch, scored a couple baskets late. I think she ended up with, you know, 6 points, I want to say, in the fourth quarter. So certainly thought she made some plays and settled in a little bit and really did her best playing defense. I thought they tried different things and ultimately were willing to say, hey, if we double her, we got to live with if they make threes or not. And they did that in spurts in the first half, certainly did that late, but I think you almost have to take that gamble as opposed to giving her a bucket inside, because she's going to score almost every time she gets it.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see. So a couple other plays I wrote down from the fourth quarter. And I really thought that Chloe and Sydney in particular in that fourth quarter was just really lifting us up in terms of playing well together. And there were two plays I wrote down. Chloe first drove down and into, you know, their mini trees that they had on the South Carolina team, but she kicked it out and found Sydney for three, who drained it and made it 60-65. And then on the next play, back down on offense again, Chloe does a cross court pass to Sydney for three, and we're now back to a 5-point game at 65-70. And then on the other end, we ended up forcing a shot clock violation. You know, later we would get it down to 72-74, but it just seemed that 5-point mark was about where we were going to get stuck in that fourth quarter. And you know, once we really had to start fouling when the clock wasn't on our side, I thought that was really, you know, hard to overcome. But it was nice to see that, you know, still assisting from Chloe and the threes from Sydney, you know, after our struggles in the first half in particular, shooting that three, you know, we were 6 of 17 for 35% in the first half on 3-point shooting, which is definitely well below our normal average. And so I'm glad they didn't just go away from it, because I don't think we were going to be able to do a whole lot else in terms of driving the ball or getting the ball into Max. So we had to find our 3-point shot. And I think Chloe being the facilitator and Sydney being able to make those threes became very, very important for us in that second half and the big comeback that they were almost able to make.
Yeah, I thought Chloe, even going back to the third quarter, had some really good stretches of play where hit big shots. She did the same thing in the first half. I just felt like the first half, somebody would, for the most part until the end, like find a way to make a shot to keep it from getting up there. Chloe hit a couple threes in the first half that helped with that. Hit another one in the second half, had a nice drive where she finished over Cardozo late in the third quarter as they made that run. And they really made it tough on her. They made a point to, like I said before, they were really hounding her. Yarden brought the ball up quite a bit at times, because they were just, I mean, they were grabbing Chloe basically to keep her from getting the ball. But I thought, you know, she really, when she got the ball, was effective. So even though she wasn't bringing it up necessarily initiating the offense every single time, thought that she was still really effective, just hit big shots. And that's what you need from your point guard in that scenario. And obviously played good defenses, as we've known her to do, over the course of her career, but she ends up with 8 assists, and 6 rebounds over the course of her, you know, 39 minutes of the game. So just a really impressive performance, only 2 of the turnovers, from her as well. And now she only took 7 shots, but yeah, made 3 big threes, and I thought was absolutely critical on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great news about Chloe and Sydney, which we'll talk about a lot more in the offseason, they're both coming back next year. So love to see that. The last play that I kind of wrote down was when we got the ball to Mac again, and she kind of got away from Cardozo. I don't know if she slipped or if we had a nice screen, but Mac made that two underneath and it made it 72-74. But that's about where the clock became really not our friend, and we really had to start fouling. So for me, that was kind of the last pivotal play, I think, of the game. But or were there any other games that you, any other plays, Andy, that you want to talk about, or should we jump into some numbers and kind of overall themes of the game?
You know, there was just a couple plays I'll throw out just for a way to talk about Yarden. You know, ended up with a number of turnovers, but man, she just is not afraid of anybody. She went right at Cardozo a couple times, kind of had a nice, you know, kind of put her shoulder in her chest a little bit, created enough space to make a jumper over. I think that was in the fourth quarter. Had another nice ball fake that she had at one point. I don't know if that was Cardozo, but kind of drove to the lane, let the person fly by. Had that 4-point play that really gave IU a little bit of a spark early in the third quarter, and made a number of big shots in the in the first half. What I love perhaps the most was when IU got it to two and South Carolina called a timeout, she just walks by their bench clapping at him and whatever. You cannot scare her. You cannot intimidate her. And so I just thought, you know, even though she had some of the turnovers, I thought the one offensive foul was legit in the second half where she kind of pushed off and then hit a three. Yeah. I thought the one in the first half, not so much. But I thought they got a really, really good effort from her, especially, like I said, having to handle the ball a little bit more. I thought she had a number of big shots that, you know, anytime you're playing somebody like South Carolina, I guess I probably have said that 100 times so far, but, you know, they're all big shots because they're keeping you in the game and they're letting you, right, you know, kind of chip away at things. But I thought she did a good job of really trying to attack. And again, was able to get her shot off a little bit more just because of her size, and thought was really effective at various points in the game.
Yeah. And, you know, I do want to mention something. You know, you talked about Chloe Moore McDeal and how they pulled her off of the point more and had Yarden bringing the ball up more, or at least sharing the effort with her. And I think that's a testament to Coach Moore and her coaching ability and her staff, right, to make in-game adjustments. We already have seen it a number of times all through the year, but I thought this was a really great microcosm, if you will, on her coaching ability overall in the season, where we saw some adjustments from the beginning where they weren't going to post Mac up. And then they came out at halftime and made some adjustments there. And they were pulling Chloe more off of the point and having Yarden run it instead, since she was a little bit bigger. And, you know, I think we've seen that from Coach Moore a lot. And it was really great to see her doing that against one of the, you know, undisputed best coaches that are out there right now in the women's basketball game with Coach Staley on the South Carolina side. And so, you know, I have zero issues with how Coach Moore and coached today's game. So I thought that was a nice, nice example of some of the coaching moves that she made.
Yeah. I thought they really did a good job particularly in the second half offensively. I mean, they scored, I don't know what South Carolina normally gives up, but IU scored 1.3 points per possession in the second half. 43 points on 33 possessions. I mean, that's impressive against anybody, let alone number one team in the country. I thought they did a nice job of getting the ball to Mac and then kind of running the scissors, you'd call it, as the two different people are kind of, you know, going around her up at the top of the key. I thought there were plays. Sarah hit a big three at some point in the second half. They just ran sets. I mean, just the off-ball movement from IU is great. That's what we're used to with this team, but they really made South Carolina guard in a way that, you know, I think other teams may not, just by running everybody off screens. And that just forces people to make decisions. And sometimes they make the wrong one and give open shots. But, you know, the game plan was clearly to be able to get out there, take threes, go under screens, force South Carolina to make some. They did early. They made some adjustments, as she talked about in her interview, mm-hmm, you know, during the game. And I thought they tried some different things with Cardozo. They played zone for a little bit, I feel like, at the beginning of the second half.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you know, you got to kind of throw the kitchen sink at him if you think you're going to be able to come back. And I thought there were some really good stretches of defense. And in some ways, South Carolina settled for threes that they made in the first half at times, and that helped IU out. But, you know, forced some turnovers, forced that key shot clock violation. I thought they tried enough different things defensively that they made him a little bit uncomfortable. And like I said, I thought they made some good adjustments offensively to be able to maybe get better 3-point looks over the course of the game. They didn't really change what they were trying to do on that end, but in terms of the shots they wanted to get, but I think the ways they got them, they did a nice job of making some adjustments there as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, to your point, I don't know exactly what South Carolina has given up to other teams during the year. I know they very few games that they lose by double digits. I can tell you they won their first two games in the NCAA tournament by an average of 40 points. So I think that that alone should give us enough to cheer about. And, you know, they are not the hands down overall number one and undefeated for no reason. So, well, with that, this might be a good segue to just jump into the numbers. So why don't you go first, Andy? What do you want to talk about number wise?
I mean, we could probably get the bad ones out of the way first, I guess, and then we can work our way to the others. But
yeah,
we talked about points off turnovers. You know, South Carolina ends up with 19 points off of 14 IU turnovers, but they only got 4 points off turnovers in the second half. So I thought that right. was, big difference. Almost got to a point where they were even for a rebounding perspective, which IU was down a decent amount early. Ended up 32-30 in total. Yeah. IU had more offensive rebounds than South Carolina, which I thought was good. Yeah, the bench points.
Real quick on the rebounding. We were down 14-21 on the rebounding margin. South Carolina averages, I think, the largest rebounding margin in the country at around 11 or 12. So to only have been out-rebounded by them by two, I think, was it's definitely something I wanted to point out too. So
yeah,
that's been an Achilles heel for us all year, even with, you know, some teams that were smaller that we were going against. But to stick with South Carolina and, like you mentioned, out-rebound them in terms of offensive rebounds, I think that was really huge for us in this game.
Yeah, the other two on the negative side, I guess the rebounds was not meant to be a negative. Sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought there. But bench points 23-2. I think. Yeah, that's a hard one. You've got a team who's really deep in South Carolina with got some contributions there, and IU really didn't even play the bench in the second half. So I don't know that there's a whole lot you take away from that, other than, you know, that some of the players had a chance to really develop some depth. I mean, the only one that took a shot was Jules, who actually made it on a nice inbounds play. And so, you know, I think it was just difficult to try to figure out. You had to have enough people on the floor that you felt like South Carolina had to guard. And you kind of go down fighting with the five. And then points in the paint, 42-26. IU was outscored. Not shocking given, Cardoso in there, but just a lot of big bodies that South Carolina could continue to throw out there and make things difficult. People getting to the basket and making some nice dishes for easy baskets. So those were the bench points and the points in the paint and the points off turnovers are probably the three that, probably aren't what you would, that were more the most on the negative side. So I figured we'd get those out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, to your point with the bench points, 2-23, that's not surprising at all. You know, we talked about this in our last post-game show after Oklahoma, and we were previewing this a little bit, and we knew that South Carolina went 10 deep, right? And, you know, Don Staley, Coach Staley for South Carolina has said all year, they don't really have a starting five, they have a starting 10. And you can absolutely see that on the floor where it was really hard to even know who was the starter and who wasn't, you know, and they ended up with all 10 of their people that played, ended up scoring. And it has been like that for them all year. And, you know, for anybody that wasn't quite aware of the, you know, very amazing feat that South Carolina is doing. Not only did they have a 10 deep, they graduated all five of their players last year that were starters, all were drafted in the WNBA. So they had a completely turnover of their starting five. So just an amazing team that we went up against, and to hold our own with only four, I think just was a testament to the grit of our women. So those were the numbers that we're going to point out were the minutes that our starters played. We had 33 minutes by Mackenzie Holmes. She was the fewest, 37 by Yarden and Sydney, 38 from Sarah Scalia and 39 from Chloe Moore McNeil. In fact, I can't remember Chloe going out. But at some point she must have gone out for a minute, but I missed that as well as Sarah going out. And so we kind of knew that. We knew that it was going to have to be our five going against their 10, really. Don't want to dwell on it. We've talked a lot about bench playing. And, you know, when Jeff and I start breaking down the season, I'm looking forward to what we need. I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about bench and kind of depth of play, but tonight is, I don't think, the night to dwell on that. One thing for me was the turnaround in our shooting. So we shot 38% in the first half and ended up shooting 46%. In the second half, or in the for the game. And in fact, our three-point shooting, 35% in the first half, and we finally ended up at 39%. And I think, you know, we probably had a few that were kind of shot up there a little hastily by Sarah. I thought she was a little off on some of her three-point shooting. But overall, they definitely cleaned some of that up. And it was, you know, brought down a little bit by Mackenzie Holmes shooting 0-4 from three. But overall, I think that you hit a lot of the numbers I also had written down. Any other team numbers that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on the three-point shooting. You know, IU ends up shooting 44% in the second half from three and 39% for the game. So I think, you know, about where you'd want to shoot. I think they said South Carolina coming in was at 40%. They make 8 of 16, so they're 50% for the game. Yeah. Although that dropped off a little bit in the second half. And really, they didn't shoot a ton after. I think they were 5 of 7 in the first quarter and then didn't only shot 9 the rest of the game. So that helps a little bit. But yeah, I mean, IU takes 33 threes and 28 twos. But I think that's kind of the shot diet that you're going to need to be able to pull the upset here. Right. You know, you're 15.5 point underdog. I'm not sure you can really go at it in the way that they, you know, might normally approach the game. And so add a little bit of that variance and do that. Assist numbers, I thought were good. 17 assists on 28 makes. Same number of assists as South Carolina. There's a lot of the numbers that are really pretty similar as you look across the two teams. So I thought they moved the ball well, particularly in the second half. Had 9 of those 17 in the second half. And so, you know, I thought there were some good things they did offensively with trying to get the ball to shooters and things like that. So thought a lot of positives. You know, free throws, IU only gets there 9 times, South Carolina 16. Some of that is inherent in shooting that many threes. You're probably not going to get fouled much. So not going to there were probably some calls I didn't love, but not going to complain about the free throw disparity as a way to speak to that. But I didn't think there were a few that were questionable. But yeah, team numbers wise, I think those were the ones that stood out to me.
Yeah. The one, I'll end us then on a positive in terms of team numbers. We did have more steals than them by double. We had 8 steals to only 4 for South Carolina. So really, really just overall proud of our team today. So, all right, Andy, well, let's just go ahead and move into our game ball and Grace Berger, hardest worker. So first with a game ball, I do have the numbers updated this time. If you're watching on YouTube, scrolling at the bottom of the screen. So Mackenzie Holmes leads the way with 14. Sarah Scalia with 7, Sydney Parrish with 4, Yarden Garzon, and Chloe Moore McNeil each with 3. So Andy, again, as our guest, you get to go first. Who do you have for your game ball tonight?
I mean, I feel like I shouldn't be considered a guest anymore. We've done 3 shows together.
I know, not anymore.
In less than a week. I mean, we have, but
three,
no.
Three.
I will, I'll go with Sydney. I think it was, to me, this was not a case of you just give it to the person who had the most points. I just thought she was fantastic. I thought she, from an attitude standpoint, and like I said, the first note I wrote down was that she was scrapping in the first half, got that rebound put back on the very first possession that IU had just by out hustling the other player for the ball and being able to score. So I thought she was fantastic, hit huge shots that kept IU in it and helped them claw back in the game. I think her being able to play those 37 minutes after the injury and some of those things, I think it was her they were talking about that said, you know, we saw some of these other teams like taking time off and we were so happy to be back in the gym and working and she was getting healthier and things like that. I just thought she was, I thought she was fantastic. So I'm going to give mine to her.
Yeah. I thought this was, this will be pretty easy to make this unanimous. And I see people voting in the chat already for Sydney as well. Sydney gets my game ball as well. I agree, you know, not just leading the score, the team in scoring, but everything. We talked about her. There was a number of times that I wrote down or talked about with my husband about her just going down and scrapping for steals and taking the ball away from people down on South Carolina's end. And, you know, a lot of times she was guarding somebody who was quite a bit taller than her as well. You know, just in general, South Carolina had so much size over us at almost every position. And I think our ladies just did a great job of fighting defensively. And she was absolutely one of the leaders of that, you know, in the rebounding as well. I guess she only had 3. I thought she had a lot more than that. Viscerally, it felt a lot more than 3, but you know, only 1 turnover as well when we were being a bit sloppy with the ball. But overall, I thought she was just a great leader on the court for us tonight as well. So game ball to Sydney and super excited to get her back on the team again next year. All right. Well, we'll move on to our last Grace Berger Hardest Worker of the Year, our Hardest Worker of the Game award for the year. It's a good thing we're not giving out podcast host games tonight, because boy, I can't keep my words together coherently. But again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the scroll with our count, and there's a number of people who've gotten a game ball this year, our Grace Berger Hardest Worker. So Sydney Parrish leads that at 7. Lexi Bargesser, Chloe Moore McNeil with 6, Mackenzie Holmes with 5, Sarah Scalia with 2, Lene Beaumont with 2, and then Lily Meister with 2, and then Yarden Gosone with 1. So Andy, I'll let you go first. Who do you have for your Grace Berger Hardest Worker?
Well, it would probably be fitting, at least if you go along with me, that this person would end up tied for the lead, because I think she's kind of the one that you think of when this comes to mind. So I'm going to go with Chloe. I thought she did a little bit of everything. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, just 2 turnovers, played 39 minutes. I think she came out once. She was really excited. It was at the end of a quarter or something. That's like that, right? Where there was a run and they showed her really like yelling out on the bench and that. So I think that was the only, like, you know, that's 20 right. seconds that she came out of the game or whatever it was. But I think Yarden is worth mentioning here as well. But I ended up going with Chloe. I thought she did a fantastic job of running the show. And I think that while this award is not obviously for the year and for the season, but I think overall what she showed today is the same kind of performance we've seen. It's her really trying to step in to Grace's shoes a bit as the point guard, as the leader, and do some of those things. She's done a phenomenal job all year, and today was no different.
Yeah, I agree. And yes, she gets my vote as well. And thank you for that reminder, because she got fouled really hard and they brought her out of the game. And I think she had a few choice words for when how fired up she were that I wish that she wasn't. So I won't repeat what I think she said, but I wholeheartedly agreed with her at the time, now that you remind me of that. So thank you. So yeah, Chloe Moore McNeil absolutely gets my Grace Berger Hardest Worker of the Award tonight as well. So fittingly, that ties her with Sydney Parrish at 7. For the most Hardest Worker awards for the year.
That feels right.
It really does. I feel like those two in particular, you know, Sydney with the game ball and Chloe with the Hardest Worker, followed up by a great performance from Yarden Gosone. And honestly, I think everyone played their roles tonight that we needed them to play, just came up a little short. You know, they were just, you know, South Carolina, like we mentioned, they're just so deep and so talented. It was going to be hard for us to have 5 players really play almost the entire game going up against their 10. But, you know, Mackenzie Holmes, even, you know, not that we're going to give her necessarily the Hardest Worker tonight, but I thought she worked hard and she was taking what she was given, which was not her normal place in our role, right? She's never usually a 3-point shooter, which was obvious in the 0-for-4. All year, she'd only taken 8. So for us to all of a sudden think that she was going to turn around and start knocking them down, that wasn't going to be something that happened. But she did go out there and she still worked her tail off the entire game. So hats off to the entire team. And we maybe give them all the Grace Berger Hardest Worker Award. So normally this is where we kind of go into what we call the record watch. I'll just quickly give the final numbers here then for some of the things that we have been watching. And so Mackenzie tonight ended up with 12 points. And so that now takes her career total of onto 2,530 points. So she is now 166 points ahead of Tyra Best for that first place. A couple of people had asked me if she ever passed Steve Alford. She did. She has now outscored Steve Alford by 92 points, and she came up just shy of Calvert Chaney by 83 points. Sarah Scalia tonight already broke the season record with number of 3 points made, and tonight she made 2 more, so that takes her total to 103. So she just missed tying Steve Alford, who made 107 for overall program, both men and women's records. So congratulations to both of them. Very fitting way to end both of their careers for us. And last time we'll see them in an Indiana jersey, and really going to be something to not see Mackenzie after 5 years. It'll be something hard to get used to. So thanks to both of them for everything that they've given us for the number of years that they've been with us. Normally we would be talking about upcoming games. We don't have any upcoming games. around the Big Ten, real quick, Iowa did move on. I'm sure most people know that. They will play tomorrow against number 5 Colorado. That tip will be at 3:30 Eastern if you want to watch them play as well. That's our lone Big Ten team left in the tournament now. So with that, Andy, why don't we turn to final thoughts? How would you like to kind of wrap up this last game, post-game show for the year?
You know, it's similar to what I said at the top. It's disappointing that we won't get to see this team play, this iteration of the team be able to play together anymore. I think as you look at, you know, Mac leaving, certainly left a massive impression on the program, and will be sorely missed. No matter what happens, no matter who IU gets, will be sorely missed. And Sarah really, over 2 years, made a tremendous impact on the program as well. So it's always hard at the end of the season to kind of say goodbye to some of those players and try to think about what the team might look like. I think, you know, what they showed tonight was that there's a really strong core of players, that the, you know, probably 3 of the people who played the best were the 3 that are going to be back, that played a lot in Yarden and Chloe and Sydney. And so there's certainly big shoes to fill as other players are going to be asked to take on larger roles. But I think as you look at, this was a, you know, that there's things that are program wins. I don't know if this is a program moral victory, you'd say. I don't know what you'd say, but I think the performance today just speaks to the solid foundation and the strength of the culture of this program. And so players will move on. There'll be big shoes to fill, but I think this program is obviously in good hands from a coaching standpoint. I think also from a player leadership standpoint, from a culture standpoint, all those things. I think it is an effort to be proud of today, and it is a team and a program and a culture to be really proud of for IU fans. And you're not gonna fool Indiana fans into about what is and is not good basketball. And so right. This team has worked their way into everyone's hearts because of the way they play and how hard they play and how together they are. And while the faces will change next year, I don't think the hallmarks of what makes this program great right now will change at all. And so that's something I think everybody can be proud of. Just an amazing display of fight to come back in this game against a team that has just repeatedly run people off the floor over the course of the season. Teams ranked higher than IU, teams ranked lower than IU have just bludgeoned everybody over and over again, and down 22 to be able to get it back to 2 points at one point was just phenomenal. And that is the best advertisement that you can have for what this program is the way that they showed up and fought till the bitter end today. And so there is certainly sadness that the season has ended and that these seniors will be gone, but certainly not sadness about the way that they played and how they represented themselves in university.
Yeah. I don't know that I can say anything a whole lot better than that, Andy. Very, very well articulated. Thank you for that. Like you said, I think this program as a whole was embodied tonight by this game, right? You know, they might have gotten down quite a bit by 22, like you mentioned, but they fought back. They never quit. And we have always seen that from this program now built under Terry Moore and in the last number of years. You know, as I mentioned in my banner moment, we've now made three Sweet 16s in 4 years. And, you know, to be able to stay in that top 16 consistently, I think is just a testament to not just Coach Moore and her staff, but the players that they're bringing in, the players that are willing to do all the work and you know, get in the gym and do the extra time that you need outside of just practices. And what a great recruiting tool this is as well, right? Like this is on a national stage against the number one team in the country, and you made them sweat. You know, I think that South Carolina was getting pretty nervous there in that fourth quarter in particular. You know, Dawn Staley, you know, at one point was during her interviews was talking about what they needed to do and just get back to defense. And we still managed to outscore them in that whole second half, which has not been done a whole lot at all this season. Even the last 3 years, I mean, we're talking about a program in the last 3 years, they're 105-3. And we took them down to the last quarter and made them sweat, you know, and got it down to 2 points. And yeah, there's things we're going to look back on and things we wish we could have done differently. But I hope that our women in that locker room are not holding their head down and holding it really high, because I'm very proud of this team. I'm proud to call myself a Hoosier tonight, even though we were on the short end of the score tonight. And I never will quit being proud of this team as long as they keep playing the way they do. And I think this will show a lot. And, you know, Jeff and I will talk about incoming recruits. I know there's been things in the chat and the Discord and things, you know, about what kind of recruits we need and what we might have coming in, what we don't have coming in. We know we have transfers that we'll probably end up landing to. There's still a lot of moving parts that we don't know what's going to look like. We'll talk about that later. But tonight we're celebrating our Hoosier season this year. You know, again, they've only lost 6 games all year. And most of those teams that they lost to were in the top 5 or 6 at the time. That is a huge testament, I think, to this program as well. So they've gotten to, you know, they've gotten to the next level. And now they just want to keep climbing. And I love to see that for women. And I'm very proud of our team. So overall, that's how I'm going to kind of wrap up my thoughts, is thank you to McKinsey Homes for the 5 years. By the way, if anyone's curious, McKinsey Homes has never been not ranked in the top 25 in 5 years. And thank you to Sarah Scalia for the last 2 years that she has come and played for us as well. And to Ariel Wisney, who I know she didn't play a whole lot on the floor, but I heard, you know, a lot of things about her in the locker room and being a great teammate. So thanks to those three. Looking forward to what we'll see from them next year. So with that, I don't have anything else to really say, I think. Well, normally this is where we talk about what's next. Well, obviously we don't have another post-game show to talk about. Jeff will be finally coming back from Spain sometime tomorrow. So he and I will chat, I'm sure. I know we will definitely have some podcasts coming up around, you know, kind of wrapping up the season, talking about some other things during the off season. It will probably be after the tournament is over. So just keep an eye out on Twitter and Substack to find out when we will do our next show. But if you do want to do be part of our live chat and watch us do the show live, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@backhomenetwork. You can also be part of our private community. You can find out more at assemblycall.substack.com. A special thanks to John Ringer of Rig Design for the designing our logos. Big thanks to Bob Thompson for our music that you heard throughout the broadcast. Thanks to Andy for being my very faithful co-host here during the postseason. I really appreciate it. But most of all, thank you for listening. We will be back to talk IU hoops with you again sometime soon. But until then, keep your elbow in, your eyes on the rim, and let's go Hoosiers. All right. And I think that's a wrap.
All right. That it is.
Yeah.
That another it season is.
Damn, that was so close.
I know. I know. It's one of those where it's like, okay, kind of getting away from them, and then they get back in it, and it's like, could they? Could they? So.
Yeah. I usually scare. I have two dogs. One scares really easily. She hates me and I yell. And so usually about 5 minutes or so into a game, she's gone. The other one usually sticks around. The other, that she actually ran away too. And then she came down and just sat in the middle of the room and just kind of stared at me like, what are you doing? She looked very confused. So yes, I was a little animated tonight. So yeah. I thought that we were going to get there, but no.
Got to do what you got to do.
That's right. Yeah. So hats off to South Carolina, though. I mean, they really are just an amazing team. And for us to hang with them, I just was so impressed with our fight in that second half in particular to get back into it. So,
yeah, there's like you see the record and you see all the stuff they've done and you're kind of like, okay, fine. Yeah, whatever. And then you like watch them play. And you're like, holy crap, they're ridiculous. So at the beginning of the game, they scored 10 points in the first 4 possessions of the game. It's like, what in the world is going on? It's like you're just expecting them to pounded inside, they hit some threes and whatever. So yeah, they're ridiculously good. It will take quite an effort for somebody else to beat them.
I agree. So well, good. Well, hey, thanks again, Andy. Appreciate you the last 3 shows. And thanks.
Hey, no problem. I'm happy to do it. It was fun. It was a fun team, fun group of games. So It was good. Happy to help out. I assume the next show will just be Jeff sharing vacation photos and stuff like
probably,
that.
Probably, yeah, you know, rubbing it in.
We'll see, like that. So, absolutely. Although going with a bunch of high school kids, I mean, I don't know how much, I mean, certainly right. Vacation, you're in Spain, but, you know, maybe not quite the same as you might want it to be otherwise. We'll see.
Exactly.
But anyway, well, so well, happy to do it and looking forward to the off season with you guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Andy. Take care.
All right, cool. Thanks, Kathy. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Happy Easter.